I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Tony Hendra.
And this is a special election edition of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by the Carlyle Group Retirement Plan.
Are you currently a U.S. president or ex-president, cabinet officer, four- or five-star general, or top dog at the CIA, the Pentagon, or the National Security Council? Then consider the Carlyle Group Retirement Plan. We offer these unbeatable retirement benefits.
Exclusive real estate in Grand Cayman, Antibes, St. Barts, Phuket. Investigation-proof offshore accounts. Insider trading free of federal scrutiny. Round-the-clock security and bulletproof transportation on all five continents. Untraceable financial instruments. 24/7 comfort services. All genders.
Let the Carlyle Group, the world's most private equity firm with $150 billion in assets, help you plan your retirement.
Pay no money, pay no premiums.
Just send a massive government defense or energy contract our way, $5 billion minimum, or the information about same before anyone else knows it, and you're in. When the time comes to retire, simply join one of our executive boards and you're set for life.
Hi, I'm President George H.W. Bush, and the Carlyle Group Retirement Plan sure worked out for me and Barr.
The Carlyle Group. Take care of us now. We'll take care of you later.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh! Israel vows to hold its breath until it turns blue if it can't bomb Iran.
After Euro downgrades, Moody's gives itself a AAA rating as a credit rating downgrader.
Study. Being a loser increases risk of depression.
Now the Final Edition's finance feature, Money or Die. In the wake of its $5 billion IPO, Facebook plans to build still more value with its most far-reaching innovation yet, Facebook Unconscious. Facebook CEO, sole founder and creator, Mark Zuckerberg.
Facebook Unconscious will be a game changer of epic proportions. It provides robust new engagement with users by directly accessing their innermost thoughts and dreams.
Company spokesbots have been touting Facebook Unconscious's potential up and down Wall Street. Dennis Lee is Facebook's chief status update officer.
Imagine. FU will create the first truly honest status updates in social networking history. For example, when a man identified as being in a relationship with a woman lists his status as "can't wait for glee tonight," the software translates that to "can't wait to get sex by pretending to enjoy glee tonight." Or, when you browse another person's photos, FU figures out your real motivation and automatically streamlines your search into "has gotten fatter since high school" or "nudes."
The big question on everyone's lips is how Facebook can delve this deep into its half-billion users' minds. Nigel Chin, Facebook's chief mind-delving officer, explains.
So actually, FU doesn't delve into users' so-called minds. It works by picking up these neurochemical signals that are emitted by electrolyte-rich bodily fluids. So, basically, anything you excrete on, or near your computer, or your spittle when you're Skyping, or gunk on your fingers or under your fingernails from, say, picking a zit, or micrometric detritus falling out of your nose, is our data mine!
FU is, of course, a breakthrough for advertisers and their ad agencies. Maurice de Gaulle, chief explanation officer for global French agency conglomerate Publicis.
How can we use this formidable new information to the max? I tell you, my buddy. We can use this formidable new information about customers' innermost fears and cravings to craft the most precise ultra-personal pitch. For example, drink Pepsi Max, Billy. It's the next best thing to getting your dead brother Henry back.
Ever sensitive to the issue of privacy, Zuckerberg is quick to reassure his enormous global community.
There's absolutely no obligation to use FU. It will be a default feature of your Facebook account, but you can opt out of it with a simple 3,147 alterations to your privacy settings. But I'm optimistic that FU is what the consumers want, whether they know they want it or not. And if they don't, they soon will, with next month's release of Facebook Inception.
Now an important message from our favorite Southern Baptist, the Reverend John Hagee.
Today, the second coming. What will it look like? In a nutshell, the Second Coming is like the Second Amendment. It's all about guns. The guns of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again to kill the sinners. The Second Coming is about churning the sin-rotted guts of drug-sucking homosexual abortionists and lesbian stem cell farmers with copper-clawed black talon slugs pouring numberless as the stars from the white-hot barrel of his holy Glock. It's about BLU-109 fragmentation bombs, blowing atheistical private jet-set Hollywood commie fornicators and satellite radio blasphemic evolutionists into bite-sized buzzard snacks. It's about blasting wide the putrid fundaments of witch-worshipping, euthanasia-humping, child-cloning, hybrid-driving pornographers with space-based rectal rockets. It's about the agonized screams of the damned as they're chopped into bloody hamburger by our loving Savior in His infinite mercy.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. And now, Stuckey and Murray.
That's great, it starts with an earthquake, bird snakes and airplanes. Billy Bruce is not afraid. Shit, piss, cocksucker, dick, prick, motherfucker, tits, bitch, fuck, that turd from a whore. Come watch, watch, lick, cock, pussy, cake, lick, sandwich, cunt, kiss, a fart, fuck, fuck, do goddamn shit, eating ass, burning butt, fucking cum, chugging, get up, gank. It is every cuss word we know. It is every cuss word we know. It is your motherfucker, ditch, bitch, fuck, crap, turd from a whore. Come watch, watch, lick, cock, pussy, take, lick, snap, pepper, cut, kiss, and fuck your roots, you goddamn shit, eating ass, pepper, fuck, fuck, and come, take, and get a steak. It is every cuss word we know. It is your
will our shepherd do this? On the plain of Megiddo, in that holy land of milk and honey and tactical nukes, Israel. Will he be all meek and mild like Jesus 1? No way, Jose. Jesus 2 will be a mountain of a man, a mile high, an incredible holy hulk, Lieutenant J. Christ, USMC. Capable of straddling nations, with one foot in Israel and the other 10,000 miles away in Europe, home of the Antichrist. All day, Judgment Day, from 9 to 5, Lieutenant Christ will cut down our enemies. 1 billion Muslims with leftover breakfast in their beards. 2 billion Hindus and Confucians with their shifty outsourcing steel-dumping ways and their foul fish breath. Multitudes without number of those sneering, snarling beasts of revelation, the Europeans. The filthy French will be hurled into God's mighty fondue pot to spend eternity up to their necks in boiling cheddar. The cross-dressing lighten the loafers limeys will be hurled into a burning closet to be buggered for all time by hippopotami high on Spanish fly. Lieutenant J.C. USMC will squish the terrorist coddling Danes and Dutch and Poles and Krauts and Czechs and Scots and Swedes into eternal red-hot road jam and make a moon roof in the head of Italy. Oh, happy day, that judgment day, when Christ Jesus will finally give genocide a good name. When we, the born again, the chosen, will watch his faith-based ethnic cleansing strip God's earth of sinful humanity so we can safely graze with our beloved shepherd for 1,000 years of love, rejoicing, and private health care. Rejoice, America, for the Messiah is coming!
This special election episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by...
A cancer institute is funded at your alma mater.
A legendary art center is endowed in your city.
You say you don't like where the money comes from, but your mom has cancer.
And you're a free spirit who couldn't live without theater.
So here's a question.
If the money gives your mother a new lease on life and makes your life worth living,
does it really matter where it came from?
I'm David Koch. You're entirely welcome to my brother's money and mine, and there's plenty more where that came from. All we ask in return is that you let us pose a simple question every now and then, like,
does it really matter where the money came from?
Things really do go better with Coke.
Worried by Rick Santorum's surging campaign, sometime GOP frontrunner Mitt Romney told a stunned CPAC audience that he is actually an adorably frisky kitten.
Some people have misperceived me as a tall white man. That is false. I'm a cuddly little kitten. I invite anyone who doubts me to come up here and tickle me or scratch behind my ears and see what happens.
Harley Chuntz, a right-wing blogger from Utah, and his wife sat silently during the announcement.
I'm skeptical. Mitt talks like a kitten now, but his record as governor shows few feline tendencies.
It's just another ball of fluff speech. More image manipulation to appeal to us real conservatives.
Romney campaign manager Matt Rhodes denied the charges that his man was just trying to hang in there.
Kittenish is part of Mitt's heritage, going way back to his boyhood in Michigan. Mitt was raised by cats. And he still licks himself all over instead of showering.
Buoyed by his newfound status as a kitten, Romney intends to travel to rub against primary voters' legs until they let him buy their votes.
The supreme leader of all campaigns and definer of civilization's future, the Newt Gingrich 2012 presidential campaign, was found dead in the basement of campaign headquarters earlier today. Shortly after the passing was announced, hordes of intensely sobbing Gingrich followers and casino magnates gathered completely spontaneously outside the Gingrich compound in Alexandria, Virginia. It has been hinted by the foreign press that the campaign has been suffering losses for months, particularly in the failure of the Supreme Leader's southern strategy, both west of the Mississippi River and north of the Mason-Dixon demilitarized zone, and that this might be to blame for the campaign's demise. The crowd's grief was deafening. Mr. and Mrs. Gingrich, stunningly vapid in a pair of Tiffany's morning earrings, appeared at the balcony. In a joint statement, the Gingriches insisted that the campaign's sole heir and successor was the young entity known as Gingrich Productions. The official statement also decreed that it was the specific wish of the most honorable deceased campaign that death not be mentioned, but rather the legally binding term suspended in supreme immortality, in deference to those true devotees who believe its eminence will rise again to its exalted place atop our lives.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh! Rest of country hints it might go along with it if the South seceded again.
20 years later, Cupid is still haunted by the Julia Roberts Lyle Lovett misfire.
Protesters at Occupy Rochester are finally noticed pepper sprayed.
President Barack Obama outraged conservatives yesterday when White House doctors revealed he does not hear disembodied voices in his head. Here with a reaction is Republican Party strategist Ronnie Tilgus. Ronnie, why has that got the GOP up in arms?
It proves once and for all that Obama hates religion and God. He admits he does not hear the voice of Jesus in his head. This is absolutely going to galvanize our base.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Our party relies on voters who hear voices and speak in tongues and obsessively save old refrigerators. And now they can see this president does not speak for them.
Just so I understand, Obama had his regular checkup yesterday, and doctors just said he had no physical or psychological abnormalities, and that's actually going to help Republicans?
Well, how can he claim he's in touch with the people? He isn't being told to smite our enemies or cast away sinners or strangle prostitutes.
And Republicans have really jumped on this. Mitt Romney, who's usually careful about religion, he just predicted the end times. And he fell down and soiled himself at a campaign stop in Muncie, Indiana.
Well, frankly, Governor Romney still has a ways to go before people believe his sincerity. But the message is sound. Obama is a godless atheist. Whereas I'm like most decent Americans. I hear the shrill, ceaseless voice of God telling me to kill.
Well, looks like we're out of time.
Sure, sure. We just want to get the message out there. If God talks to you, if you hallucinate about fire, if you cut the eyes out of newspaper photos, if you create elaborate oil paintings of Jesus lifting weights, the Republican Party needs your vote.
Miss Tilgus, good luck in November.
Thanks. Kill all prostitutes.
This is the Final Edition Radio Hour. For more satire with teeth, visit thefinaledition.com.
Turning 360 degrees to focus on the campaign, the drop in unemployment and solid Wall Street gains should be good news for Barack Obama. But not so fast, Republicans are saying. This is actually good news for them, because Barack Obama has not really been president. We're joined now by Speaker of the House, John Boehner, for more. Speaker Boehner, thanks for coming onto the show.
Well, thanks for not fighting the court order.
Certainly. Mr. Speaker, why are Republicans denying that Barack Obama has been president this whole time?
It's not a denial, it's a fact. Barack Obama has never been president, and everyone has always known this. And I think the onus is on you people to prove otherwise.
Well, then if he's not president, who is?
Well, don't play dumb. The corporate bailouts, the strong defense policies, the slowdown in government spending, this has obviously been the work of a moderate Republican, and that Republican's name is Mitt Romney.
But wait, Barack Obama was elected in 2008.
Now, he ran that year, sure. But Mitt Romney won and has been president ever since. And don't pretend like you don't know.
But in the newspapers, the States of the Union, those have all been Barack Obama.
And you believe the lamestream media? It's been Mitt.
So Mitt Romney is running for re-election.
And I think he merits it, don't you? This president has a list of accomplishments that any Republican leader would envy. He caught Osama bin Laden, for God's sakes.
Okay. So what you're saying, basically, is that things are going well in America.
Well, of course. This president, this Republican president, saved the auto industry. Employment is improving as well as could be expected, considering the hole we were left in by Bill Clinton. You could only get that from an experienced business mind like Mitt Romney.
Well, some of that is sort of true.
If some of it's sort of true, it's all sort of true.
So, Mr. Speaker, your message is basically stay the course.
All true. Re-elect President Romney.
A shocking new poll shows that the very poor do not care about Mitt Romney. This is what some of them had to say.
I kind of go all day without ever thinking about Mitt Romney.
I care a lot about Mitt Romney. I was thinking about him today when I got up and I was cleaning my gun.
We are raising money for our high school basketball team. It's $2 for M&Ms or $5 for... I'm hungry, Mommy. Can I just eat some of the candy?
I ain't got no foot.
I'm sorry. I'm on my way from one job to another job, and then I'm going to get like 3 hours sleep. Whoever he is, he's fine. There's no bus.
Is Mitt the one that wants us to have the abortions or the one that's going to make us have the abortions?
Who cares? Let's fuck.
He ties his dog to his roof. He doesn't tie his dog to his roof. Whatever. They repossess my stove.
Is Mitt Romney going to feed my baby?
How much for the baby?
My penis is on fire!
The Final Edition Radio Hour attempted to inform the Romney campaign of the very poor people's opinions, but he was not interested in hearing them. It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Republicans promised to withdraw troops from war on religion and add them to war on Islam.
Europe holds closeout sale. Rugs, manuscripts, crown jewels, IKEA, everything must go.
Anonymous White House sources confirm that people are goddamned idiots. Rick Santorum scored another major coup today for his come-from-behind presidential campaign. He was endorsed by 16th century Spain, where he is widely admired. Our Stone Peck took a trip down the space-time continuum to check it out.
I'm standing in the ancient city of Sevilla, although it's not that ancient yet. Everywhere, people are waving brightly colored signs reading, Nos encanta Ricardo de Pennsylvania. Roughly translated, that's We Love Richard of Pennsylvania. You, senor, who are you and why are you waving that sign?
I am Fra Sebastian de Montoya. Assistant Torturat, second class to His Excellency the Grand Inquisitor. I specialize in the Iron Maiden. She is my main squeeze.
Why the signs?
We are showing our support for Ricardo's strict stand against gays, abortion, condoms, premarital sex, and of course his staunch opposition to Obama the Moor. We love that Ricky has a Latin name. Santorum, Santorum, Santorum. He's a beautiful name. We all wish we could vote for Ricky, but there are no elections in the kingdom of His Most Catholic Majesty, Carlo Primo. Thank God.
Before the primaries, the U.S. presidential race had aroused no interest in the far-flung Spanish Empire, but that changed when Santorum upended frontrunner Mitt Romney in Iowa and swept the February 7th nationwide contests. Santorum fever swept through 16th-century Spanish cities like wildfire. Senora Isabella Pizza was one of the first civilians to jump on the bandwagon. Isabella, describe the excitement that's gripping 16th-century Spain.
In every cathedral across the land now is a beautiful portrait of Blessed Ricardo in the manner of the Hispano-Flemish school. He is shown as a conquistador with his foot on the neck of a horrible, fierce some dragon named Sodomia, which means army. He is so brave, so stiff, so rigid, so Catholic. I would gladly give myself to him if he were not so pure of heart.
Thank you, Isabella Pizza. Yes, sir, you want to say something?
I am Sancho Panza. I'm a lowly knight squire from La Mancha. I just want to say we 16th century Spaniards look at Rick Santorum and see a man whose values are absolutely ours. I just hope he speaks up about rooting out these traitorous Moriscos and conversos and sending them to the auto da fe. Burn their electrical bus!
According to sources in Madrid, His Most Catholic Majesty, Carlos I, has ordered a galleon loaded with pieces of eight to cross the Western Sea and find Santorum campaign headquarters so that 16th century Spain can help put the blessed Ricardo in the White House.
I am El Duque Rick Santorum, and I approve this story.
Tonight's episode of The Final Edition Radio Hour was a production of The Final Edition, satire with teeth. Actors for this episode were Kevin Janis, Barry Lank, Darby Worley, Anne Tuchel, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. The writers were Peter Kleiman, Jay Welch, Louis Grossberger, Regan Henson, Rob Kuttner, John Henry Kurtz, Barry Lank, Fran Langham, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Music provided by Stuckey and Murray. The engineers were Giselle Hernandez and Greg Russ, and the producers were Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition LLC, copyright 2012.